On this last Sunday of the church year, all of the readings point us ahead to the day of judgment, the coming of our salvation, and urge us to be ready. The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is a portion of the letter of Jude. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, as you have heard and tell by our readings, we are at that time of year. It is the last Sunday in the church calendar year before we begin Advent. So being this the last Sunday, we have all these scriptures that talk about the end times with death and destruction, other dark moments, all right before our Thanksgiving and right before we celebrate Advent, which leads into the Christmas season. And there was much rejoicing. Yay! Yeah. What do we do with these scriptures? And more importantly, what do we do with these scriptures today, living outside of Mark's gospel when he wrote these? Well, I think of this. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, I know it's not quite Christmas yet, although the way that the shopping centers and retailers are going, I think Christmas started this year in September, maybe somewhere in August. But Santa Claus coming to town is a great secular Advent song as we await the day of Christmas when Santa Claus comes to bring lots of gifts and toys. So too, we're also waiting for Christ's return. Yet this reading is not very cheery or hopeful. It's rather a dark one, literally. The sky will go dark with no sun. The moon will not shine its light. The stars will be falling. Doesn't really sound like fun to me. Christ will come for the elect, meaning those who have faith in him. This world will no longer be. And so there are those who do not have faith in Christ will perish. These are people that we know. Family, friends, people that we love. And I don't know about you, but when I hear these words, part of me is a little afraid. To be honest, I'm not sure she's here today, but Rachel, Carissa's a member here at Christ the Vine. She's a 16-year-old junior at Nelson High School. And when I was about her age, I remember hearing these words about this time of year. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, please don't come. Not until I get married. I wanted to know what it was like to be in that kind of loving relationship. So I met the love of my life. And I'm not saying that because I need to earn brownie points yet. I haven't done anything wrong yet this week. But then getting married, the next prayer became, Lord, please don't come, not until I've had children, to know what it's like to father children, to raise children of my own. Now my next wish is, Lord, please don't come yet, not until I see the Seattle Mariners win a World Series. But you see my logic. It's a little bit of reverse psychology. Because if you know anything about the Seattle Mariners, they will never win a World Series. Therefore, Jesus will not be coming back. But if he does, that means the World Series, they'll win it probably. But there are people that have, throughout history, tried to predict the end of the world. In fact, some have even gotten down to a specific date and saying this is when Jesus will come. And as you know, all of us sitting here today, he hasn't come yet. But then there's also people that I know, friends of mine, especially on Facebook, that will say things about the end coming, that there are wars brewing, famines are going to come, the markets in the world will be collapsing. And if this is, are we not pointing to the end of the world? And then there are others that are trying to create the new Jerusalem by bringing about the end times. Maybe you've heard of this story about the red Angus heifers that are being imported from Texas by evangelistic Christians. This started back in 22. These are perfect cows that are meant to be used for a sacrifice at the new temple that they're building, all with the hopes of bringing back Christ sooner. So, is this true? Will Christ come soon? Jesus does answer one of these questions in Matthew 24:6, when he says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." So if we're not to be alarmed at the thought of these rumors of wars and other events, famines and floods, then how do we handle these texts? Do we go like what we see on Facebook or maybe the street corners that borrow words from Mark chapter 1:14, where it says Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Or do we get our lives in order? Make sure we've been obedient to God and faithful to serving him. And how do we follow what we just read in Jude 21? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, this brings us to the next verse in our song. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness' sake. As you know, we can't merit goodness for ourselves. We can never assume God is simply pleased based on how we feel being obedient to him. So is keeping ourselves in the love of God, is that being good for goodness' sake? Is that even based on works? Of course, this is moralism when one tries just simply do good to earn favor. Santa Claus might require good works, but God does not need them. As Luther stated, our neighbor does. But there's something else that God is speaking here. If you look closely at our gospel reading and throughout the readings this morning, you'll see a common word. It goes with our song, you better watch out. We are to keep watch and stay awake. In fact, these phrases appear 6 times throughout our readings this morning. And if you look at other places where Jesus talks about the second coming, everything has to do with watching. Last year I preached on Matthew 25 about the 10 virgins, the ones that brought extra oil so that they could stay awake when the groom arrived for the wedding. They were prepared to watch all night. Which is also interesting that all the places that Jesus talks about end times, Jesus purposely places the arrival at some time during the night or in order to illustrate that the Son of God will come at an hour when we don't think he'll arrive. So again, our questions will get answered here in verse 13 of Matthew 25, which is watch. Therefore, you do not know the day nor the hour. So what does it mean to watch? Should we sit back and look out the window? Maybe Brianna over there can keep an eye out for us and see if Jesus is coming. Of course, that's not what we're supposed to do. It's not about watching. What is meant here is that failure to watch for Christ can deaden our awareness, cause us to lose vigilance. This can then lead to other temptations. Maybe the desire for God to come to relieve our sufferings, or fears of what might happen in the world the next few months, especially after January 20th. Or maybe you're just sick and tired of trying to eke your way through life, sick and tired of being a nobody. It's like this. As you know, I like baseball. And it's not always about winning. And sometimes I don't always care for those bandwagon fans that when the team starts winning, they start to join in and watch. When you follow a team, you know the players. You know where they came from. Even maybe the farm system they were developed in. You know how they hit the ball, what pitches they like. Even the pitchers that they don't always play well against. I think this is what Jesus meant by watching. We don't watch, we grow lazy in our faith. Another clue of this time of waiting was preached last week by Pastor Brubaker when we read Mark chapter 13:10. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. How is this done? By us, God's people. So what does that look like? Well, in Matthew's gospel, right before he talks about the final judgment, is the famous passage of where he talks about being served. When the Lord was hungry, thirsty, naked, and a stranger. When we do these things for others, we are doing them for Jesus. Here's a great example of this. Somewhere in the 300s, a man named Nicholas of Myra lived. He faced many hardships as a child and a young adult. His parents were devout Christians and died during a pandemic. So Nicholas was left with a rather large inheritance, which to use to help the sick and the needy. During the time of the Roman Emperor Diocletian, who was a ruthless person and persecuted many Christians and actually sent them to prison, where he punished them for their faith while the prisoners were set free, the ones that actually committed real crimes. Nicholas was one of those in prison, and some speculated that he was even persecuted and beaten for his faith. Once set free, though, he went back to helping others. Nicholas heard of a story of a father who had three young daughters. Without a dowry, they would not have a husband, and these young girls would be forced to become slaves, which is actually a polite way of what would have really happened to them. So Nicholas decided to help by leaving some gold coins, either what we think was their stockings or their shoes that were left by the fire to dry out overnight. He did this on two other nights, each for one of the other daughters. Being caught on the third night, though, by the father, Nicholas asked that his identity not be shared. Rumors spread, though, of his goodness and generosity to the poor. Nicholas died in 343 on December 6. The stories grew, and so did his fame, so the church made him a saint. Most places in Europe celebrate St. Nicholas Day on December 6 by having young boys reenact begging for alms to give to the poor. Other places on the eve of the 6th, December 5th, share candies, chocolates, and small gifts. Simple gift-giving in early Advent helps preserve a Christmas Day focus on the Christ child. Dutch immigrants brought the legend of St. Nicholas to them was known as Sint Nicholas, or by his nickname, Sinterklaas, to America in the 1700s. Like Nicholas, we are given a task of caring for others around us. Our food bank here at the church remains active and busy during the week. We support the local school just down the road with our backpack buddies. Our quilters are busy making quilts to provide warm blankets for those in need. We support the Father's Heart with the homeless ministry. We support other missionaries helping to teach about Jesus to others. And our own church for the past 19 years has partnered with Gitnow to teach them about God's love to them. And there are many other people in our church who help others not only in our church, but in our community. And like Nicholas, these people choose to be anonymous. We've been told to share the gospel as we watch for the Lord to come again. Like Nicholas putting gold coins to pay the dowry of the three daughters, Christ has paid for our freedom and a privilege to have an abundant life with him. Abundance not in things, but a life of forgiveness that only comes from Christ. While we watch, we have the promise of Christ that he is always with us. Christ is with us and has been and always will be. He's here in the words that we just read, and then also in the sacrament that we're also about to partake in. Thus, no Christian can ever say that he or she is alone. Jesus is with us, and that changes everything. No enemy is greater, no problem is too big, no shortage too dire. His wealth, his blessing, his gift is always enough for us, and that gives our lives hope. So, you better watch out, better not cry, you better not fear, I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming again. I'd like to leave you with the doxology that we just read in Judah 20. Actually, it's 24 through 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blamelessly before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.